Hello everybody, this is Ryko, and it is my continuing mission to seek out new games and fun communities, to brave the horrors of bad games and soul-crushing pay-to-win strategies. This is GameGate. Hello everybody, and welcome to the first episode of GameGate. I am your host, Ryko, and today we're going to be talking about the brand new Pokemon game, Pokemon Sword and Shield. It was released on November 15th, 2019, developed by Game Freak, and published by Nintendo of America Incorporated, the Pokemon Company. Of course, this was released for the Nintendo Switch. Now, I have a lot of my friends have been asking about when I was going to write a review for this game or do a podcast, and the reason it has taken me so long to give my opinion on it, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told them. Pokemon is not some random indie game on Steam I found one day. Games like these have so much nostalgia and nuance that to just rush through a review for the game would not be fair to me or anyone who cares to listen to it. With that said, I do have some thoughts on the new Pokemon games that have come out, which I will go over. Now, I bought Shield instead of Sword, so I will be discussing my experiences with that version of the game. As far as I can tell you, there is very little difference than a few version exclusives and, of course, the Legendary, which anyone who has played a Pokemon game has come to expect, so nothing major there. As you begin, the game introduces you to Pokemon battles in the form of you watching the undefeated champion, Leon, take on a challenger. It is cool, and it shows off the new game mechanic called Dynamaxing. For those familiar with Mega Evolution, imagine that, but basically on steroids. What I like is that every Pokemon seems to be capable of Dynamaxing, which is unlike the Mega Evolution, which required a stone specific to that Pokemon. What is disappointing about this new battle mechanic is that the moves seem to be limited to one per type. As to why, I'm not quite sure, but it maybe has something to do with the fact that every move affects the terrain. Either way, the new Dynamaxing is an overall win in my book. I like the new feature, and who doesn't like a stadium-sized Charizard wrecking face? The first hour pretty much plays out like most other Pokemon games, where you meet your friend slash rival, you get your starter, etc. What makes this game a bit more unique is what happens after you go through all the stuff required. You enter this place called the Wild, and in the Wild you can wander around, battle, and catch as many Pokemon as you want. This is much bigger than any route that you have grinded in, and it's massive, and the Pokemon range in level from about 9 to 20 is from my experience, at least at the beginning. You can actually see Pokemon in the grass, which allows you to avoid certain Pokemon that you've already caught or just don't interest you. They introduced a camp system, which is similar to the way that you would interact with Pokemon in previous titles. You can set up camp, play with your Pokemon, or even visit somebody else's camp and interact with theirs. If you get tired of playing with your Pokemon, you can cook them up some curry with the berries and ingredients you find scattered around the wild area. The better the curry, the more EXP your Pokemon will receive, and their overall happiness level will go up. I haven't quite figured out how to cook better curry than silver grade, but I'm sure eventually I'll get there. The happier Pokemon are, typically they're more likely to break out of these status ailments or even survive with 1 HP as to, and I quote, "toughed it out to not make you sad." So with the EXP and the battle benefit, there really is no reason not to do it from time to time. So quit being a bad Pokemon trainer and spend some time with that Magikarp, a little bit, at least before it becomes useful and evolves into a Gyarados. The overall story of Pokemon Shield is pretty basic. Especially if you've played a Pokemon game before, you'll recognize the formula. Battle 8 gyms, take on the champion, become the new champion, take down whatever bad thing some douchebag is trying to do, and there you go. That's basically every Pokemon game in a nutshell. Sword and Shield are no different. What Sword and Shield do is they change up the way you play out that old class of Pokemon game formula that everybody seems to love. But as for the story, I can't really speak to it much. They didn't really do anything to innovate or get me hooked on the story, which is fine. I mean, the story has never really been the thing that's drawn me to playing Pokemon in the first place. I mean, let's be real. If you're playing Pokemon for the story, you should probably reevaluate some things in your life. Moving on from the story, Pokemon Sword and Shield gave us something never done in a Pokemon game, and that was a sense of freedom before beating the game. Now I know you might be listening to this and probably saying, but Raikou, Pokemon has always been free after you beat the story. And you're right, and you've also completely missed my point. So, just settle down, stop thinking so hard because it's gonna hurt your brain. No, Sword and Shield give you that freedom right away, or at least after about an hour of gameplay. Now, I already went over the wild area, and I'm not going to beat a Mudsdale to death here, but the fact that, unlike any Pokemon game before, you have complete freedom of the area and can basically stay there as long as you want, catching, camping, or even just exploring and collecting the items and watts is nothing short of amazing. Now, I do want to go over the new currency that Sword and Shield introduced, and that is the watts. Watts are a currency that you can find for various things, like examining a den that is not glowing, or battling a Gigantamax Pokemon from a den that is glowing. The amount of watts you will get will vary, depending on what you're doing, but from what I can tell, it seems to be about 200 watts for examining an unlit Pokemon den, and 2,000 watts for battling a Gigantamax Pokemon. What you do with these watts is up to you. You can spend them at various points within the wild area, on upgrading your bikes so it charges faster, new TMs for your Pokemon, fastballs to help you catch Pokemon, or even just digging up some rare items like evolution stones. There really is so much to explore in this game, but let's get down to what I think everybody cares about, and that's the new battle mechanic, what it does and how it actually affects the battling. Okay, so first and foremost, I really want to start off by saying I am not an expert on Pokemon battle mechanics, and these are just things that I've learned through my own gameplay, watching YouTube, or speaking with my friends about their experiences. With that said, let's talk about what actually happens when we Dynamax a Pokemon. Well, for one, they get massive, which is pretty obvious from any pictures you may have seen of the game, but the Pokemon also gain additional health based on their Dynamax level, which can be leveled up with the use of Dynamax candies. The next thing that changes is, like I stated earlier, you will notice that every move type has its own special Dynamax move, is what I'm calling it anyway. And you cannot change this move, at least if you can, I haven't quite figured out how to do it yet. These moves will cause massive damage to the opposing Pokemon, who is also usually Dynamaxed. And the moves will also change the landscape a little bit and cause different effects. Nothing totally game-changing, but worth noting. The next step of Dynamaxing is Gigantamaxing, which, unlike Dynamaxing, in the sense not every Pokemon gets to do it, nothing really changes in terms of the Pokemon power level, as far as I can tell anyway. The only thing that Gigantamaxing does is change the look of the Pokemon, which is pretty cool. I do like the new Gengar Gigantamax, and Charizard looks pretty cool as well. That is really all I can say about Dynamaxing and Gigantamaxing. If you want a list of all the Pokemon that can Gigantamax, I highly suggest Google. It's a magical search tool that will help you out, which will probably lead you to Cerebee.net, which is probably the best website for anything Pokemon related. Now, I mentioned that you can actually battle these Gigantamax Pokemon in the wild. And if you do, go and examine a glowing Pokemon den that has a beam of light shooting out of it, you will not only get a bunch of watts, but you will initiate what's called a raid battle. This is unlike anything Pokemon has done in the past because it's a 4v1 battle, with you and three other people taking on the Gigantamax Pokemon. Now, it seems like the Pokemon's difficulty level or strength is determined by the amount of stars it has before you battle. After you win the battle, you can catch the Gigantamax Pokemon and you will be rewarded with EXP candies. These EXP candies give large amounts of EXP, which is what's so great about this, is it gives you a whole new way to train up Pokemon that you really have no interest in by just giving them the candies until they evolve. They are similar to rare candies, but these candies give large amounts of EXP, which can result in multiple levels for your Pokemon. That is basically raid battles in a nutshell. It's you and three other people from the internet, NPCs the game gives you, or three of your friends. If you get some friends together, you can all farm up raid battles and EXP candies for insane EXP gains. But even if you don't have the friends to play with, you can always connect to the internet and pull three randos doing the same thing. Honestly, there really is no reason not to raid battle unless you're just really not interested in the Gigantamax Pokemon or the EXP candies. Finally, I want to talk about my review, so let's get on that. Game Freak has outdone themselves on this one. I really love the sense of being part of the Pokemon world that they seem to have captured in this game. Now, I have mixed feelings about the no national Pokedex. On one hand, it would have been great to get all of my favorites from the old generations. On the other hand, I understand how much of a pain that would have been to try to finish a Pokedex that had over 800 Pokemon in it. I mean, I might not have much of a life, but who's got time for that? I personally love the character customization that they're allowing for more in each game, so please keep that up. The only thing I didn't like was that suitcase backpack that you just could not change. All you could do was change the design or color. Overall, I really enjoyed the care that was put into the game. It was a through-and-through Pokemon game that I could play on the big screen, with more exploration of different areas that made you feel like part of the world. Each new area was different from the last, and it didn't seem like the game was just reusing old landscapes with a new color. In my opinion, if you are a Pokemon fan, or at least used to be, you will enjoy playing this game until the very end, wherever that may be for you. Whether or not you set it down after you finish the story or battle to the top of the battle tower, this game will keep you entertained the whole way there with so much to do and all the little things that they've added into the game. It might be a little bit overwhelming if this is your first Pokemon game in a very long time, but with that being said, you will figure things out pretty quickly. It is, remember, a Pokemon game aimed at children. Pokemon Sword and Shield gets a 10 out of 10 for me. It's everything I was hoping it would be, and any problem that I might have, just really just personal things that don't affect the game. I hope you all enjoy the game if and when you get to play it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of GameGate. I am your host, Ryko. Remember to stay awesome, and I'll see you next time, gamers.